All right, I think I got that turned on. Well, I appreciate the opportunity anytime to get to stand here. I know it's a little different with a lot of you being in here normally in the classes and stuff, but I'm sure glad to have the opportunity, like I said. If you have your Bibles, if you would, go with me to the book of Mark, Mark chapter 6. It's going to be unusual. I usually don't cover a lot of Scripture, but today we'll be looking at most of this chapter. But it'll be quickly, I know, if I know me. But Mark chapter 6, and we'll start off reading in verse 45, and then, like I say, we'll be going back, looking at some of it. I want to read you a lesson tonight that I've entitled this: in 2020, don't let Jesus pass you by. In 2020, don't let Jesus pass you by. As I've done several times, I've had the opportunity to be here. I like to look back. I like to look at what brought a message to me, or how the Lord brought one to my heart. And this particular one, I remember years ago, I was getting ready to substitute teach for a teacher at a class, a fifth grade boys class, and he had given me the lesson. His family's got to be out of town. He said, "Stacy, we'll do the class," and I was going to do that. And I saw what the lesson was about, and I told myself, "Oh, I know that. I don't need to read over that. You know, I know that. I'm real familiar with that. You know, I don't need to." And I remember I laid it aside, and the day went on. You know, and stuff. And as it came closer to the evening time, something began to bother me. Like you ought to. It's a little bit more important. You need to read that. You know, you need to look over that. You don't need to just throw that aside. And I remember, I took it out, and I began to read. See, Mark, we're going to read here. I came to a verse. So when I read here, I want you to pay real close attention to verse 48. The last five words of verse 48. We're going to start in 45. But pay close attention to those words. And I'm going to share with you what hit me that night. And I hope it'll be a blend to you as it was to me. But here's what it says in Mark chapter 6, verse 45. It says, "And straightway he," that's Jesus, "constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go into the other side before unto Bethsaida, while he sent away the people. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. And when evening was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. And he saw them towing and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them. But when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit, and cried out. For they all saw him and were troubled, and immediately he talked with them and said unto them, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And he went up into them into the ship, and the wind ceased, and they were so amazed in themselves beyond measure and wonder, for they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their hearts were hardened." Those five words in 48 that night, I remember it struck me. It says he would have passed by them. And I begin to think, what do you mean, Lord, to me? What do you mean? What are you saying you would pass them by? These are your disciples that you've been handpicking and training and getting ready, you know, for the gospel to be spread. And you see them in trouble out here in the water. And now then you're saying you would pass them by. And that bugged me. I remember thinking, oh, gosh. And I'm thinking, man, I was all ready to teach tomorrow. Now I don't know what this is talking about. You know, what does this mean? So I went back. I wanted to look and see what was happening in the chapter and content to what was going on, coming up, and leading up to what's happening. It's what I've always done, a lot to do. So I went back. And so real quickly, I want to share what I did that night. And as the Lord helped me get an answer in my heart to what it meant here about why are you going to pass them by? Or why are you even saying that you would pass them by, okay? So in chapter 6, verse 1, the first whole five verses there, it says there, "And he," Jesus, "went out from thence and came into our own country." It was his disciples followed him. "And when the Sabbath day was come, teachings they got of many hearing him were astonished, saying, From whence has this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands. Is not this the carpenter's son of Mary, the brother of James and Jonas and Judah and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. But Jesus said unto them, A prophet is not without honor, but in his own country and among his own kin and his own house. And he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. So first of all, in this chapter, we see Jesus is going to his town where he grew up as a little boy in Nazareth, where he had grown up as a little boy. And he's teaching in the synagogue, and the people are saying, hey, isn't it the little kid that grew up down there? Isn't it? Don't we have the sisters here? And they were offended by the fact that it even says that Jesus could do no mighty things right there. So this chapter, I'm just thinking, man, look, that was happening with Jesus there. But look what happens here in Mark chapter 6, verse 7 through 13. It says, And he called unto him the 12, and began to send forth by two and two, and gave them power over unclean spirits. And he commanded them that they should take nothing for their journey, save a staff only, no scrip, no bread, no money in their purse, but be shod with the sandals, and not put on two coats. And he said unto them, In what place soever you enter into a house, there abide till you depart from that place. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear you, when you depart then, shake off the dust under your feet for a testimony against them. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. And they went out and preached, and that man should repent. And they cast out many devils and anointed on many that were sick and healed them. So if you look at the disciples right here, for the first time, the disciples are given, Jesus has given them the power to go out two by two and to begin to heal sick people and to heal the needed stuff. But Jesus wasn't with them. Jesus wasn't there. They've been with Jesus, and Jesus has been doing all the mighty miracles and all the mighty things. They've been part of the big excitement and watching it happen. But now then, he's giving these disciples the chore or the duty or to go forth, and he's giving them the power to go. And now then they're going out, it says in two, and they're beginning to teach. I begin to say, I wonder. And then we won't take time to read it, but the next few verses there, it just gives us the account of the murder, the imprisonment and the murder of John the Baptist, and when he was beheaded. It's talked about there. There's a lot of stuff going on here in chapter 6. But something hit me in verse 30 that began to answer for me a little bit about verse 48. Why would he say he would pass them by? Look what verse 30 says. And the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all the things, both what they had done and what they had taught. I began to say, the disciples begin to talk about, hey, look what I've been doing. Look what I've been doing. The people are thronging me. The people are all coming to me. And look how special I am. And they're just human. I think they probably begin to get a little bit of a big head. Yeah. I think they begin to think, man, I must be something really, I'm special, man. I'm really neat, Look at what's happening. And the disciples begin to think a little bit too much about themselves at this point. Because remember in verse 52 says that they considered not the miracle of the loaves because their hearts were hardened. Their hearts were hardened. You see, just before they were standing on that ship, that great miracle about the feeding of the 5,000. I love that story. On the mountainside, and Jesus asked for more than 5,000. 5,000 men, but women and children, who knows how many that are there. But a little lad has made available his lunch to Jesus. And now Jesus takes that and blesses it and feeds all the multitude. Okay? But now verse 52 is saying they didn't even consider it. Their hearts have been hardened. So Jesus, I believe he was faced with this. Here's what I believe with all my heart. I believe Jesus said, hey, he saw this in them. He said, hey, I got to teach these guys a real important lesson. I got to teach them where the power really comes from, where the power really is. He said, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to put these guys in a situation that they think or they know that they can handle. You see, most of these disciples, not all of them, but a big portion of them were fishermen. They lived on the sea. And if they weren't fishermen, they'd been around the sea. And they knew about it. So he said, hey, I'm going to tell them to go across the sea. I'm going to send them to go across this little sea here, Galilee there. And then I'm going to cause a storm to come up. I'm going to make a storm and a wind to be up. The wind's going to come up and it's going to get struggling there and stuff. And then these guys are going to be out there in trouble in the midst of this sea. And he's going to come out to them. But the Bible says, and it says he would have passed them by. It says that. I believe he's saying, hey, they're going to have to humble themselves. They're going to have to say, hey, I really need help. I really need Jesus' help, you know? So he comes walking out there. You know, I believe with all my heart, he didn't just put those words in there. If they didn't humble themselves, if they don't humble themselves, he would have passed them by. Just think, Peter, day of Pentecost. It might have had to been some other name, not Peter. He would don't misunderstand me. It's nothing to do about the soul. It's not that Jesus has that secure. It's nothing about losing a soul, but everything about losing your power here to work. I mean, to use Jesus and live for Jesus here, you know. And I believe Peter would have lost that opportunity to preach on the day of Pentecost, 3,000 souls getting saved, if he don't humble himself and say, "Hey, it's Jesus here I need." John. Used to write the book of Revelations, you know, to see all those mighty things. That might have had to been Charles or somebody else. But it was John, it was Peter. You know why? They did humble themselves. Yeah. They cried out. First they thought it was the Spirit, the Bible says. But they cried out. Jesus said, be a good cheer. He came up in the boat. The wind stopped. But the lesson he was, I believe what I'm already trying to tell him is, hey, the power lies within you. Trust in me. Trust in Jesus, you know. Jesus was about to be leaving them. He was about to go to the cross in just a few short years. They would have to know who the power really came from, you know. I can't think about it. It's in the Bible for us today. 2020, don't we need that same thing? We're in a great church here. I love this church. I know you do. We have so many people. I know Brother David, like Martha and Miss Linda, have been playing these instruments for years. The 11 years I've been here, you know, there. Many years before that, right? That's such a blessing. The same just going on and doing and playing a time at a time. We got teachers here, Miss Patsy, Miss Bob, Sister Nane, been teaching those classes for years and years, right? But here's the problem. We can be so familiar with doing it that we can work Jesus right out of it. We can say, I'm so familiar, I can do a lesson, I can teach this, I can teach that. You know what Jesus will say? Okay, I'll pass you by. That's right. I'll let you do it. That's what he says, I'll pass you by. I say we need Jesus in everything, you know, we really do. Man, over the years, I've had a great privilege of preaching to the young, the kids and children of church and Wednesday night things for many years. But man, Sunday night had to become my favorite service. Because Sunday morning I was out with the preaching in the children's churches, and Wednesday nights we were doing the children things, and I was getting prepared and doing all that stuff. Man, Sunday night, I had to come, and I had to say, Lord, speak to me. I need you. I haven't done as faithful as I should, but I've done it pretty much. I pray, the Lord, speak to me. You know, I know Brother Strunk's not going to get to come now with him because of what the preacher told us, I know. But we talk about praying for the preacher that's coming for revival. Pray for him and pray that God will give him good health and good messages. We always need to do that. But most of all, we need to pray individually. Lord, speak to me. You know, whenever it is, speak to me. Give me your word. Give me your grace. Give me your knowledge. And we need to cry that out. Just think if we come to church, and every one of us, if every one of us could pray beforehand, Lord, speak to me today. I want you to speak to me. Boy, what the Lord would do for Brother Chris or for whoever it was, if a people was praying, Lord, speak to me. You know, speak to me. And I believe that's what Jesus wanted to teach the disciples that night. The power lies within Jesus. You know, no one else. And in 2020, man, really in 2020, huh? It's been a bad, been off, I mean, been a year. Don't we need Jesus? You know? just crying out to him, Lord, I need you in everything. And my kids, raising my kids and playing those pianos. I know Miss Marvin didn't probably do, but then to pray before, I want to be used of you afresh, anew. I want to teach this class new and afresh and speak to me, you know? And he'll do it. He always will. That night he came in the ship, in this story, the wind stopped, everything calmed down. Jesus was there, you know? And the same thing is true today for us in 2020. Just don't let Jesus pass you by. Amen. Don't let him pass you by. Preacher. Amen.
Appreciate that, Brother Stacy. He has such a unique style in bringing the Word of God. God's used him for a lot of years, and he used him tonight. I appreciate it very much. That happens to preachers, too, believe me. We think, oh, we can put these messages together, no big deal. Yeah, well, you'll end up flat on your face if you don't depend upon the Lord doing this stuff. Good crowd tonight. So glad you were here. Kiddos, I'm sorry we didn't have a lot going on for you guys, but you got fed the Word of God anyway. So let's stand and be dismissed in a word of prayer. Pray for these people that have mentioned on the prayer list. And we'll see you right back here on Sunday, okay? Where is Joe Cook? He's not. There, that handsome guy standing back there, yeah. Okay, Joe, will you lead us in prayer?